everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, taking a Mother's Day break from talking about G.I. Joe. Let's celebrate Mom with somehow an episode of Jackie Chan Adventures, a show that Gina insists we've done before, but we have not.
To be fair, I also thought that we had done this before. It didn't seem as familiar as I thought it would. And then when Gina said, like, we haven't done this before. When Ray said we hadn't done it before.
Boy, we all like, do this. It's not just me. Is it time to admit that finally?
What?
Think one person said something when it was actually the other. When you start mixing up me and Gina, that's when we have problems.
The both of you are, you're so white.
No, that's fair.
Who, me?
Don't play the Italian card like you're in an episode.
I don't know. I would argue Gina is somehow even whiter than me. I'll say it.
I mean, I would based on our food preferences alone, I would debate that.
Interesting.
Also, based on everything about our personalities and what we say.
Well, there you're on a little less sturdy footing, I think.
Yeah, Gina, I mean, food. You know what better way to prove that you're not white than saying you're a TV writer? Just saying.
More like TV whiter, am I right?
Thank you, Chan. That's what I was getting at. Thank you. Yeah. That's what the strike is all about.
Sure.
Less honkies. Is that, Gina, is that what the strike is about?
No. More honkies. As they drive by the signs, you're supposed to honk, so, and then the cops will pull you over and give you a ticket because ACAB.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Apparently, like, there's been some chat that maybe it wasn't the cops who did it. I guess people can just sort of like rent one of those street sign things. So some people were saying that the studios did it.
Studios issue tickets? Is that a thing that is allowed?
No, like, but they were saying like, oh, you know, like, they were saying you could be ticketed. That's what the sign said. It was one of those electronic signs that they use for, like, you know, when people kidnap stupid kids and stuff like that.
Oh.
And there's like an Amber Alert, but it said, you know, like, hey, according to this law, excessive honking can be ticketed.
Define excessive.
And people just assumed that the cops set it up. But then, like, someone zoomed in on the picture, and I guess it said, like, City of Burbank on it or something. And people were like, I think the studios did that.
I bet you they did.
And then we all know the mayor of Burbank because he's a comedy guy, Constantine. That's right. And so he was out there today, you know, telling people to honk. He was like, Burbank loves honking. Please honk. So, I mean, it's now some people are like, maybe the cops didn't do it. I mean, not to let the cops off the hook or anything, but some people were like, I think the studios or like people in the neighborhood just like got the sign and got a permit and like put it up or whatever. So I don't know. If you're complaining about honks during a strike, come on. You're officially a bad guy.
Yeah. Look, if you're not supporting the WGA and getting Gina back to work on something awesome.
Question mark? Question mark?
You know what? I'm going to blame the strike and the WGA being treated unfairly for Gina not writing on the next-gen G.I. Joe cartoon show. She should be writing on it, but we also know she is not writing on it. I blame the studios.
Yeah, I think that I've been asking the WGA to include a clause in the contracts that Gina has to get hired on whatever show she wants to be on.
Yeah, that's a good ad.
So far, it's been a deal breaker, they said.
But which Gina?
No, you gotta be more specific. There's only one. There's only one Gina.
Oh, thank God.
I mean, there's...
exactly.
You got one.
Exactly.
The only one I got is Lola Brigida. And she's I don't think she's writing anymore.
Yeah, I almost said Gina Moreno, and then I was like, nope, that's Rita Moreno.
Nope, that's not right.
That or Chino Moreno, the bassist for the Deftones. I don't think he's in the WGA. So
I mean, there's. I will say that when I start typing Gina on IMDb, I am still being outpaced by Gina Carano. So
that's regretful.
Until she consistently stops working and I keep working, I won't outpace her. So help me outpace Gina Carano, Hollywood.
I think I see your path, Gina. You've got to get a job at the Daily Wire writing God Is Not Dead 5.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
This is how you outpace Gina Carano.
I thought you meant that she should get into the she should challenge Gina Carano to a mixed martial arts fight. And
I don't suggest that at all.
Come on.
Why not? You don't have faith in me? You know what,
though? There is a flaw in my plan, though. If Gina Ippolito, TV's Gina Ippolito, gets a job at the Daily Wire, she writes God's Not Dead 5. The problem is Gina Carano will probably star in it, thus neutralizing the star. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not thought all the way through yet. I'm working on it, Gina, but for the record, keep that spec open, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have a spec of God Is Not Dead 5?
Of course I do. I have a spec of everything that's ever existed. Also, people should cancel their Netflix accounts during this strike. The Guild isn't allowed to officially say that, but we all want it to happen.
What if we just don't watch Netflix?
Genos want it to happen.
Yeah, yeah. You mean to keep paying them, but don't actually watch it?
I got to think about breaking a streak that's been going on for like multiple decades. It's just that's tough, man. That's tough.
It is tough. Things are tough, you guys. That's why we need Jackie Chan Adventures.
Hey, this is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Race to Canis.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito, not Carano.
I mean, thank God, because I would be uncomfortable if you got replaced by her just because of the IMDb thing.
Oh, wait, I booked her. I've got to go away next week, and she's the guest host.
Crap. Good news is...
You're not supposed to tell her that, Ray.
No. The good news is I won't be here either. I've been replaced by Ray Romano.
So, oh, wow.
And
it's going to be an interesting duo. Chan, you're going to be replaced by Jackie Chan Adventures?
Oh, boy. A week too early.
A notoriously poor audio engineer, so it's not a good choice.
This is an episode called The Mother of All Battles.
And Mother's Day.
For Mother's Day, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
This is our Mother's Day special. And guys, I didn't know a lot about Jackie Chan Adventures never having done it before.
But we've done it before.
No, we have not. I knew that this show existed. I definitely saw commercials for it a bunch when I was younger. We are all fans of Jackie Chan, the martial arts performer, I assume. But for some reason, I never checked out this show.
For some reason, because it's a terrible show. It's not great.
Chan, it's not great. You're terrible. Why do you want to besmirch the good name? Jackie Chan is a producer on this.
Yeah. No, he got paid and more power to him. I approve. I don't think he's getting paid anything anymore, or if he is. No, you don't get residuals from cartoons.
I mean, you don't know what kind of deal he worked out. He appears, I think, at the end of every episode, sort of like how Howie Mandel did on Bobby's World. He doesn't voice the titular character, which makes sense because
he doesn't.
Are you being fucking serious right now?
No, does he actually? I just assumed he did and didn't give it a second thought.
Do you know what Jackie Chan sounds like?
I mean, I do, but I also literally didn't give it a second thought.
But like at the end when he's talking, Jackie Chan's accent is so much thicker than the dude who's voicing him.
I assume they gave him a voice coach for the cartoon.
Oh my God. I mean, I guess I expect this from you, but Chan, I'm disappointed in you.
I mean,
you couldn't tell that the man voicing him did not have an insanely thick.
No, hold on. They told us it was Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan is in the show. Why would any of us like think it any step further than that?
Because Jackie Chan is not known for voice acting, and he admittedly at this point, still needed to practice his English.
I mean, neither's Matthew McConaughey, but that motherfucker's doing cartoons left and right.
Oh, thank you. God. I'm really, at first I thought this was a bit. It's James Tsai or C. Is playing, but it's an actual voice actor. This is insane for everyone who has not and will not watch this cartoon, which they end with Jackie Chan, and he like Jackie Chan, not known for perfect English or voiceover skills. And they end it with him, and he is saying, like, you know, he's saying, I need to still work on my English. I like to work on my English.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, the character in the cartoon does not have a thick Jackie Chan accent, and he speaks perfect English and is clearly a professional voiceover actor.
Wait, Gina, what does a thick Jackie Chan accent sound like?
I gotta go. I just think it's kind of offensive to professional voiceover actors that you thought this was Jackie Chan the entire time.
I think it's offensive to think that Jackie Chan couldn't sound like that.
Thank you, Chan. That's what we're getting at.
It's not like you do one take and you're like, okay, that's it. That's all you get. You didn't nail it the first time.
First of all, the lead guy who voices Jackie Chan also voices Chow and Shendu.
Wait, who are those people?
Shendu is like the main bad guy.
In this episode or like in the overall series?
I guess in the overall series, but I can't.
Because it seems like the bad guy in this one was just like a one-off. Because the main, isn't the name dude like Ventru or something?
Oh, that's Vendor. Delightful.
Oh, yeah.
Rodriguez.
Valmont. Oh, it's Julian Sands.
James Hong is even in this.
When you're dropping the lead, as soon as I heard his voice, I immediately like took attention. Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown is in this
delightfully.
I was just talking about him at work because
he's the best.
He needs to. I was talking about actors who need to like have bigger roles in the MCU. And I'm a big Clancy Brown fan. I say put him in everything, not just as a voice. I mean, he's an actor and a voice actor.
Has he not been in it yet?
You know what? He was in. He did a voice for something. He hasn't appeared as himself. You know, like he has. Like you couldn't tell. I think he maybe did like one voice. Oh, he was Surtur in the What If episode.
Okay.
Marvel's What If episode. So he's not someone that like, you know, like they could put him in another role and it wouldn't be like, hey, this is. Well,
it's a lot easier for him to do video games and animation now because, I mean, he has been going for a long time. You know, it's not like out there doing tons of stunts.
He's not 100. No, I'm not saying
I would argue that you could also have a hard time doing stunts at an age under 100.
Why do you think Clancy Brown is doing stunts? Have you never seen him in anything where he's just acted?
I mean, yes, but they're video games and animation. He's 64 years old. There you go.
Oh, you know what? He was in an episode of The Punisher, but apparently that takes place in a different universe. But,
he's also in the new John Wick movie. So obviously I'm wrong. He can obviously do action in one way or another.
Dang, Getty Watanabe and B.D. Wong were Gangster 1 and 2 in this?
I mean, this is also like the girl who plays Jackie Chan's niece, who it's played by Stacy Chan. I don't know if she's any relation, but
no, all Chans are related. They're in the same. They're all descendants of.
I mean, it could have been a nepotism hire. You don't know. He could have said hire my real life niece, but she's played by Lucy Liu when she gets older.
Wow. Chan, so this begs the question, why haven't you reached out to get Jackie Chan on this show?
No, this begs the question, why does Chan hate Asians and Asian Americans? Because this show is really filled with some big name talent, some big name producers.
So you're saying producers, we need to support the producers.
PGA baby.
Like no, the, I'm saying AM, the right. AM, I'm saying AM, writing AM, producers, AM. EPs, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few like EPs are the, they also have Asian names on there. Jackie Chan, Willie Chan, Soul and So.
Okay, so you think that if someone is named Chan, I should give them money?
I'm just saying you're hating on it. You're hating on probably one of the only full cast Asian American cartoons of that era.
This is basically the fresh off the boat of the early aughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of the animation world.
All American Girl.
What?
Of the
No, it's not that.
The '90s.
So. Not at all. Thank you.
There we go. When was this?
I think this is 2000.
All right. 2000. Oh,
2000. Okay.
Fair enough.
And this is season three, I believe. So maybe a little after that.
Okay,
so still.
It's season two.
So let's talk about the mother of all battles, because and this is what we're going to learn. There's an antique store that apparently no one has ever shopped at. Jackie Chan just kind of works there for this old guy who's a martial arts master. And he's there with an angry giant and a little punk girl.
Mm-hmm. I think most of that was wrong.
No, that checks out.
I would not call this girl a little punk girl.
Punk, like a Punky Brewster type, not like a not like I'm calling her a snot-nosed punk. I mean that she's a little counterculture.
I mean, this is pretty cool. Like this Jackie Chan Adventures is set within an alternate Earth in which magic and supernatural forces exist, but are known to much of humanity.
No, I read that and I was like, that's not an alternate Earth. That's just there's magic in this world. Like, if you call that an alternate Earth, then, like, literally everything on television is an alternate Earth.
Yeah, Chan, are you trying to say that magic exists in the normal world, so this can't be considered an alternate Earth?
I haven't watched enough of it, but I'm assuming when they pitched it as an alternate Earth. And that's why it's included in here.
You don't say, like, oh, Harry Potter takes place in an alternate Earth. You just say, like, well, you know, magic works, and we don't know about it.
So. It takes place at Hogwarts. Come on, dude.
But it says the series focuses mostly on those from Asia, primarily Chinese mythology and folklore. Cool. It also includes those. I'm gonna say it's hard at any point to pitch shows. And granted, Jackie Chan is a huge star. But that, I mean, that's clearly how this show got made. But pitch, especially in like 1998, pitching a mostly Asian cast. Like show that focuses on Chinese mythology and folklore. That was a hard sell back then. It's a hard sell now.
Yeah. I was going to say, it sounds like a hard sell now.
Yeah. So I mean, good. I mean, again, good for them. I know you guys hate Asian people. You want to see them get punched on the subway and therefore you hate this cartoon, but I'm going to choose to appreciate it.
How dare you? First off, I am a huge fan of the People's Republic of China. I'm a huge fan of all people from Asia. And it's going to be a Ray and Gina versus Chan episode.
Oh,
not
shit.
What I expected going in
shit.
To Jackie Chan Adventures. Although that's...
Oh, wait. Now I think I might be on the wrong side of this. I immediately have regrets.
How'd that table turn and feel, huh?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
You know, when I put it out loud.
Two white people are ganging up on Chan about his like of a cartoon that features mostly Asian people. I don't know how to deal with this.
Let me just add, now that I've said it out loud, I feel stronger about my belief.
This tracks.
The Chan. We learn that Toru is the name of the very, very gigantic man who's a gentle giant of sorts.
I love
and
him.
We find out his mom is not would not be proud from nothing. We find out his mom would not be proud of him. His mom would be very hard to please. His mom would not approve of the choices he's currently making in life. Cut to his mom is at the front door to stay with them.
Now,
I love him.
Is this as accurate and on point as Everything Everywhere All at Once is to the Asian American experience? Not quite. But we're in the ballpark.
I think at first I was thinking, oh, is this going to be like that stereotypical overbearing Asian mom? But then it didn't. It felt like, oh, okay. I get He's a sad man because of damage from his childhood. And he's
caused by
his mom.
And I
love him. I think he needs to go to therapy. He needs to learn that he is worth it. He's worth something.
Wasn't it said that most modern Asian cinema can be chalked up to wanting your parents to apologize to you? Did I read that somewhere?
I think that was like something they said while they were doing Everything Everywhere All at Once. I kind of remember something about it.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember reading a thing online and they brought up like five recent movies where it seemed like that was the point of every single one of them.
Yes, yeah. Not all of them were specifically about Asians.
I believe they all were in this case. But I couldn't name them, so I cannot win this argument.
I think it's a lot of like immigrant families in general. There's a stereotype. There's like they do this on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel as well.
Oh my God, too much.
That they're like passive aggressive people. You know, like people make jokes about Italian people with moms and being like, "Well, when are you going to get married? And what? Haven't you given me grandkids? And you know, your cousin does this."
And Gina, you're saying that's inaccurate.
No, I'm saying. I mean, okay. I'm only gonna speak to the Italian one because I feel like I shouldn't speak to the other ones. But it's definitely accurate for Italians. Okay. It's just not my parents because my parents were sort of the exception. But
Are they first generation or second generation?
What's that? My dad was first. My mom was second.
Okay. Well, that'll ameliorate it some.
My aunts and stuff will still, and my cousins and stuff will still say like, "So when are you getting married?" So that there are Italian stereotypes in my family. It just so happens that it's not necessarily my parents. About that one thing, they do sleep on a bed of pasta and bleed marinara sauce. So that's true.
That holds up.
Yeah.
But his mom shows up, the big guy's mom shows up and immediately sort of clashes with the old guy who I think is Jackie's uncle in this. Is he supposed to be the uncle?
I believe it sounds right.
I know Jackie is the little girl's uncle. So I didn't know if the old guy was also his uncle or his dad or something, but they immediately clash to a point where I thought they were going to bone at the end. Did anyone else think there was going to be boning? That.
I did. I saw the sexual chemistry.
If memory serves, this character like recurs. Although it feels like she's like would be added to the cast because like there's a whole dynamic there that is, you know, like a fun comedic relief sort of, you know.
She's very much the mother-in-law on Everybody Loves Raymond character.
Yeah.
Like I could picture her popping by and criticizing someone's cooking.
Oh, okay.
That's the extent of what I know about Everybody Loves Raymond.
That's pretty much all it is.
Yeah. The entirety of the show. It's just a mother-in-law stopping by and critiquing the wife's cooking.
I found the article on Vox about movies where people want their parents to apologize to them. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And the two examples they use are Everything Everywhere All at Once and Turning Red. Happen to be about an Asian immigrant families. But the overall point they're making in the article and where I remembered it wrong is they think it's a millennials storyline as opposed to an immigrant storyline.
I got that cleared up. I could see that.
Anyway, that really bothered me that I didn't have an answer for it. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure I got that. Anyway, so opening theme song. What do we think of the Jackie Chan theme song? Because I want to hear it again, obviously.
Do I remember it?
I don't.
Let's hear a chunk of it.
Don't hate this.
Mm. Oh. All right. Oh, you got the flute in there.
You know what? Adding it in over the rocking guitars, I'm okay with it.
Honestly, that kind of slapped. I'm not going to lie.
And this is one of those instances where I'm not worried. I've often said that I prefer my cartoon intro songs to have some explanation of what's going on. But honestly, all you need to know is that this is Jackie Chan's cartoon.
That's it.
That's all I need. That's all I got.
I mean, they sort of like show in cartoons what he's doing, right? Like,
he's going to fight people. He's going to fight people. That's what he's going
to
do.
Also, I forgot to tell you, the lead singer of Rage Against the Machine showed up at the picket line the other day.
Back to La Roca?
Whoa.
Hells yeah.
And like brought a guitar and started jamming out, I guess.
Wait, you talking about Zach or was it Tom Morello? Because Tom Morello is the much more likely person to show up at a thing like this. And if you don't know the difference...
It was... Oh, okay, let's see. Never who's going to show Tom Morello.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Man, I just can't believe that Paul Ryan and Rand Paul's favorite band showed up.
Oh, yeah. He went to CBS Radford with his guitar. There's footage of him just singing in front of a bunch of fucking writers with his guitar.
That dude.
So the other guy is cooler, is what you're saying.
Tom Morello is cooler, although he was also an audio slave, which is a regrettable decision.
Okay. Okay.
Man.
I mean, see what you're missing out on when you're not out there picketing? You too could have played guitar with Tom Morello.
Could I have? Could I have just jumped on stage there and
I mean on the stage that is the side of the road by CBS Radford, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I gotta warm Luna up with the Evil Empire album a couple of times before I take her to see Tom Morello live. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
But yeah, this theme song equally as rockin'.
Let's just say it's
equal to you're saying this theme song with the pan flute playing over the top, equal to Rage Against the Machine in their prime.
No, I believe what I was saying was equal to Tom Morello with a guitar on the side of a street where cars are honking, and which I'm sure is pretty cool.
You know what?
Don't back you up on this one.
Wow, I'm gonna say legit. This feels right. Chan, you could have brought a pan flute to the picket line and played over Tom Morello's guitar gotten the effect of the Jackie Chan Adventures theme song.
I can't believe that I missed that.
Yeah, that's a missed opportunity.
Apparently, in season one, the closing credits music was done by Wheatus, which was pretty neat, although this is season two, so we just get some generic bullshit.
Oh.
Wheatus? I'm not familiar with Wheatus.
Teenage Dirtbag.
Nope. Oh. Wait, you're saying they wrote the theme song for season one?
The closing credits song.
Oh, but why wouldn't they keep using it in season two?
Probably didn't pay them enough.
No, that's not how shit works. If you get a theme song, you get it.
Well, why don't you call up Wheatus and ask them?
But I'm saying, how do you know it wasn't them?
What?
How do you know, like, they're not doing...
It says... In on the Wikipedia page, in fact, you can just look at it yourself. Mm. Pull
seems
it up.
Like, seems like a lot of work. I mean, I already have it up, so.
Are we gonna? I will say at the beginning of this, I felt a little bad for Toru, but I instantly latched on to like, oh, okay, no, this is a Chinese family who has some sort of Japanese servant, and they're making him pay for the psychological scars of the rape of Nanking. I'm like, okay, this checks out.
Oh, is that what's going on? Oh, okay, great. Mm-hmm.
Like, because like from what I gather, he was like a villain.
Mm-hmm. He was a bad guy.
And now he's sort of like trying to go legit, which is part of the episode. But reform. You think he's an indentured servant to make up for his crimes? I think they pay him.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that as racist as you think the United States is, Asia is like 10 times worse. Flavor of Asian hates every other flavor of Asian, mostly for good reason, as in the case of Chinese people hating Japanese people. Some shit went down in World War II. Not great. Mm. So at first I was a little concerned, but then I sort of like, oh, I get it. He used to be a bad guy.
Wait, so you stopped feeling bad for him?
A little bit.
Even when he chooses grape soda, which is the most delicious of the sodas.
It is the least like a food of any edible thing that humanity has created.
First of all, fuck you. I love grape soda.
Wow, this is going to be the rift.
If there is grape soda, I will choose it 100% of the time.
I didn't say it was bad. I didn't say it was good or bad. I said it is the least like food of any edible product.
I find that endearing because I like that he chooses it like a little kid, because that's what I would do. I like him. I want him to do well. I want him to succeed. I realize that maybe because I missed season one, he raped and pillaged, and maybe I would not feel that way.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing him here as a sweet, soft-spoken guy who's a little afraid of his mom, not liking his choice of career.
I will say right now, Toru is my MVP of the Jackie Chan Adventures show. I think he has the most interesting story. I think he has one of the more interesting characterizations. he might be the only one on here with a story, so don't get me wrong. But I spent the whole time wondering what's going to happen to him. What choices is he going to make? Is he actually going to turn evil? It did cross my mind that maybe this is the heel turn, as kids on the internet would say.
Yeah, no, there's definitely kids that say that.
Yep, just children. Not
45-year-old men.
Nope, no one. I mean, I don't even know what it means. I've just heard
lamenting
the term
their lost careers. Yes,
I like to use terms that I hear the kids say with no knowledge of what they are. I hear that's funk.
Checks out.
Oh gosh. Yeah, I liked him. I hate that Chan hates sad men.
Hates sad men? I mean, he had a real lurch thing going on, and I wasn't really sure how to deal
with
it.
Yeah. I mean, I like that he's like a big dude, and he's like soft spoken. He's good with the kid.
He seems kind of broken inside, quite honestly.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, also his mother is awful. She comes in and she's awful. She's rude and mean to everyone. And all they do is make excuses for her. Oh, she's jet lagged. Is that why she just called you a rancid piece of shit to your face?
Listen, she's a, you never met a grumpy old lady who shows love by critiquing?
That's not what's happening here. Not even a little bit.
Yeah. I don't see that. As we learn more about her and how she interacted with him in the past, like I don't get that at all.
I mean, she just wants him to be successful.
I don't think that's it at all.
Who has to die for that to happen?
Yeah.
She doesn't know. It's established that she does not know that he was working for a mobster.
Look, if he is not telling her, there's a reason for that.
Well, all she knows is that he used to make a lot of money and wear fancy suits, and now he doesn't.
She used to stay with him where he worked, where he had free lodgings. She would stay with him and did not notice that she was surrounded by organized crime.
I mean, she just probably thought he was a personal assistant.
Also, if all of those Japanese people had tattoos all over their body.
Of snakes. Yeah. Very funny. No, I don't think that wasn't his old employer, though. That was new guys.
Oh, no, that was his old employer. He came from that.
No.
He's trying to make it nice now, and they're trying to pull him back into that lifestyle because they're aware of his past. That's what's happening in this episode. Which is why it's interesting.
No. These are not his employers, like, because they keep referring to him when he gets in the car. The dude is like, "You used to work for so and so,"
right?
Yeah,
but they're aware of his past shady dealings. They themselves are a new crop of shady dealers.
Yeah,
they want him
but
on
I'm
board.
Saying the old ones probably weren't covered in snakes. They were probably a little more on the down low.
Well, you know what? I'm unwilling to concede one way or the other.
That's
how this one turns out.
That's fair.
Well, look, and this is the most important thing happens. Clancy Brown calls, and he says, "Hey, Jackie Chan, you're going to work this thing tonight." And Jackie Chan's like, "Sure, I'm not making any money from this antique store whatsoever."
Yeah.
And so we keep Jackie Chan is still a good guy. He will always be a good guy. There will never be a doubt that Jackie Chan is the good guy. He's a lot like Dwayne The Rock Johnson in any movie he's ever been. Mm-hmm. You should never expect him to do an evil turn. He will mm-hmm. always be a hero in a slightly tan t-shirt.
Yeah.
And I love some sort of camouflage pants. How cool would it be if you like owned a place and you're just like, ugh, I need extra security tonight. I'm going to walk down the street and ask Jackie Chan.
Well, it's an alternate Earth, Gina. So Jackie Chan isn't Jackie Chan, you know, per se.
So this guy is Captain Black. He is with the police and he is hiring Jackie Chan as a security guard for a museum.
It's true.
Which, yeah, sounds a little sketch and, you know, like, have some concerns that it's copaganda. I don't know how much he works with the police.
I don't think I realized this dude was. Wait, the guy calling him, you're talking about Billy Zane? Are you talking about Billy Zane?
No, I'm talking about Clancy Brown.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Also, Billy Zane.
What is happening on this show?
Yeah, that fucking voice of his boss is clearly Billy Zane. What is wrong with your ears?
That's Clancy Brown.
It's clearly Clancy Brown in every Clancy Brown role ever, including Highlander.
Oh, wait, you're right. Clancy Brown does sound a lot like Billy Zane, though.
My God.
Wow. Tables. They're spinning now. You thought they turned once?
Look,
no, the tables turn.
Baking in the sun for 19 years on this picket line.
And so you're telling me that this is something I should go do? It's a fun, positive experience.
I mean, I'm just saying.
You're really making a case for it.
I'm surprised. You're usually the first one out on any cause, Chan. Mm-hmm. And
I fully support the cause while sitting down in my air conditioned office.
I've seen you go outside for other causes. I'm just saying.
He works at a nonprofit now that covers all of it.
Yep.
I don't think that's how causes work.
That's how it works. Yep. You work at a nonprofit. It's like you get out of jail free card. You never have to help anyone move and you never have to attend any pickets. That's just, I don't make the rules.
I don't have to help people move.
No, you don't. You're covered. You're covered. Now.
Yo, first of all, we are adults. We should not have friends that ask us to help us move for at least 10 years. That's a thing that you ask when you're like broke and in your 20s.
We're in Los Angeles.
Once you know.
Most of our 40-year-old friends are still broke. And
it's true.
You're on a picket line, Gina. You have no job. That is the definition of unemployed and broke.
First of all, like once you hit 31, you hire movers. I don't care what your financial situation is. You hire movers and you never mention it to your friends.
Strong disagree. You got to hit 40 first. Once you get near 40, that's when it changes. Oh, not 31, God. The other side of your 30s.
I did stop it around 38. I can't do it anymore.
Anyway, Toru takes his mom to the hotel. She's complaining some more, and he wants a moment of quiet. So he walks into a sushi restaurant. They say, "What would you like to order?" He goes, "What do you have?" That he says, "We're a sushi restaurant." To which Toru says, "I hate fish." And in my head, he's just not all there. He's just, his brain is elsewhere if that's what's happening right now.
I mean, to be fair, there's a few places that are like ramen and sushi, you know, like, or they'll have like, you know, another dish that's maybe not.
Well,
but he could have ordered tamago or something like that. He could have ordered, you know, he could have gotten a veggie roll, I guess.
Cream cheese roll.
No, that's not a thing that non
real sushi cream cheese roll. Yeah.
No, that's not a thing that roll, non-white people eat. Right.
Delicious. Cream cheese and sushi is delightful.
You're a monster.
When you think fish, think cream cheese.
I honestly do. It's all I think about. Although he did order a bowl of miso soup. So, I mean, you know, he got there.
I feel like he could have done miso soup and a cucumber salad.
There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe some Philadelphia rolls. You know, I'm just saying. It's out there.
But it was funny. I did write, like, who doesn't like fish?
A shit ton of people? That is not unusual, Gina.
I mean, but like people who say they don't like fish are like, ew, it's too fishy. And they're like doing it wrong. You know?
What are they doing wrong?
Like they're they're like eating like fishier cuts of fish than they should be eating. Like if you're eating like real fresh sushi and you're telling me that tastes fishy, that's there's something wrong.
What you're saying is this thing that you don't like, you need to eat the thing of it that is less of it, and then you will like it.
No, yeah. I would argue the most fish is the freshest fish.
Uh-huh. But that's less fishy than fish that is.
Yeah, I'm saying I think that people who say I don't like fish are thinking of it as a super fishy thing that they're like blah 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 blah. Like,
you're saying that they're being superficial?
Oh, what have I done with my life to lead to here?
I don't know
why I could be out picketing at midnight right now.
You guys, I want to enjoy this porterhouse steak. It just tastes too beefy to me.
No.
You see, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
I don't like steak because it's too gamey. They're doing steak wrong.
Gamey is a different thing. I could not like fish for a thing that isn't the name of the food itself. That's my point.
I'm telling you, every person that I've said, like, oh, why don't you like fish? They're like, it's just like, the smell, the taste. And I'm like, oh, how would you describe the taste? Fishy. But like, if they're getting something real fresh or something, you know, like a fresh, like there are fishes that are more fishy. And there are fishes that are less fishy.
You heard it here first, everyone. The character of Toru is full of shit, according to TV's Gina Appolito.
I like this character thing. I like that he just doesn't like any fish that is at a sushi restaurant, which is pretty much all fish.
Well, and to be fair, at this time period, most places you go, if you are Japanese and want, you know, some sort of experience that will remind you of home, for example, you know, walk into a Japanese restaurant and they're all going to be sushi restaurants. There are no, you know, like home style cooking.
How
Japanese
dare you, sir? How there is Yoshinoya on every corner in Los Angeles.
Listen, dude should have gone to 7-Eleven and gotten an egg salad sandwich, because that's what I did every night in Japan. A snack right before bed.
They're not in Japan. What?
They're not, or we're not.
Do you think that this show takes place in Japan?
No, isn't it set in China?
It's set in an alternate Earth, everyone.
Oh, that's right.
There is no Japan. There is no such thing as Japan in this alternate Earth.
Oh, shit. They did away with it? Or did it? It got killed from an incursion?
Godzilla got it. I'm pretty sure.
I assume that this was taking place in Vancouver.
You know what? Okay.
All right. That tracks.
Yeah, I got it. Okay, so he gets insulted by a couple of guys he wants to let loose, and then they get a little too rough, so he, you know, is about to pound them.
Hold on. No, okay. We gotta back up to this. I'm sorry, before we get
there. Yeah, do it.
Right about... They're okay, so they're looking for an octopus.
Mm-hmm. I'm here to see a man about an octopus.
Yeah, we're not there yet, but I mean, I guess if we have to go back to go to the place we haven't gotten to, yes.
Wait a minute. Haven't we?
No. I mean, we've just been talking bullshit for a while.
Yeah, he's about to get into the car and be given the job, Chan. So if you'd like me to continue to that point.
You're right, though, that Jackie Chan has been hired to protect the octopus.
Oh, he has, yeah.
But before that, when they talk... This is when the cop calls and is like, hey, we need you to break up some
Clancy Brown
strikes, some WGA strikes.
They're honking too much in our city.
Thank you. Then.
Actually, octopuses aren't fish. They're multipods.
Octopi, please behave.
Okay. Oh, that's. Yes. Now, of course, that comes way later in this episode. That line is about. It comes literally 10 minutes from now, Chan. That is after they've stolen it, for gosh sakes.
Ray, it happens at 4 minutes and 30 seconds.
Chan, I have it pointed out right here. Guy corrects other guy about octopus.
No, that happens. That's the second beat of this gag.
Oh. Yeah, Chan is correct.
First one happens when Clancy Brown tells him.
I missed it the first time.
that they're not fish. They are multipods.
They do that a couple of times on this show, and I really liked it.
First off, multipods are not a thing.
Multipods are a thing. Clancy Brown said it.
Multipods are a somebody was trying to sound smart, so you know, combine these words, you know, these multi and pod meaning foot to mean multi feet. That's not what octopuses are. Then Jackie Chan tries to be smarter and says octopi, but in fact, we all know that the plural of octopus is octopuses.
It's actually, you can actually either say either of those. You can say octopi or octopuses. It's just octopuses is way more fun.
Octopi is grammatically incorrect because us to I is a Latin cognate. And octopus is Greek.
Welcome back to the show where everyone corrects everyone else, but typically is wrong. It's called Knowing It's Half the Podcast.
What? Are we doing the thing that they're doing? Oh, my God.
No, I'm looking right now on dictionary.com. Both octopuses and octopi are acceptable. Of the two, octopuses is the simpler and more commonly used. The proposed plural octopodes is based on the plural or the ancient Greek word from which octopus ultimately derives, but it's rarely used.
But it, so they are octopodes.
Octopodes
is one of those things that is deemed correct now because of usage, because so many people use it. It is grammatically incorrect.
You guys, irregardless
dictionary.com. I mean, this even says, well, in Latin, there's a class of words that end in U.S., mm-hmm. These words get pluralized by replacing U.S. with I.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's more riveting than this conversation? Goddamn literally anything else. So I'm going to move forward.
Listen, just because you want to stay ignorant for our inevitable octopus lords.
Gina.
Octopus lords.
Gina.
And listen. Oh, so you're saying that a whole bunch of octopuses would be called an octopussy. That makes sense.
And I will. And if they painted their faces, they'd be the insane octopussy.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
If it isn't a Dunkin', it isn't a yo-yo. Here's Gus Sumera, famous Dunkin' champion for over 50 years. Some of the yo-yos you can use are the Imperial, the world's bestseller. The Butterfly, to make the string tricks easier. The Glow Imperial, it glows in the dark. And the Jewel, the yo-yo with a pretty jewel in the side. All tricks begin with the spinner. Throw it off the back of your hand. And look for Dunkin' Yo-Yos wherever toys are sold.
Dunkin' Yo-Yos, the favorite of six generations. Learn to yo-yo right in your own home from champion Tom Parks. A 60-minute video in normal and slow motion shows everything from tying the string to the most advanced tricks. All the basic and many advanced techniques to learn and review at your own pace. Also included on this special video are two bonus sections, how to play spin top and how to run a yo-yo contest.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Good night. Oh, wait.
And everyone genuinely turned off the episode after. Yeah,
I mean, to be fair, the best part just happened. So,
sorry, everybody. God, that's over.
Not going to get any better than that. Sorry, everybody.
Sometimes you got to pull the lights at 7 minutes, Chan. You know this. moving forward, they've offered Toru a job after giving him grape soda. They take him for a car ride, and they want him to rob this pop star show of this octopodus jewel thing.
It's the Japanese Cultural Expo. There happens to be a pop group playing there.
Awesome.
Weirdly, we do not.
Well, I noticed.
We don't hear ever, which is kind of weird.
Not at all. They're referenced several times.
Right.
Never get any closer. I love that. And you know what it reminds me of? In a lot of TV shows, and I think this is what I think I loved about Poker Face. Mm-hmm. Is it's wonderful. They'll have a character, and Lost is guilty of this. They will have a character who allegedly wrote like the biggest song on the planet You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And,
but then they will never play you the song because these are script writers, not songwriters. Mm-hmm. And you have to land it if you do it. Yep. And so they say, "You all, everybody." And that's all you ever got of the song from Charlie on Lost.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. No. You all, everybody, acting like you're stupid people, playing your stupid games.
See, I went to the Lost expert for the extra. That's B-side.
On you.
No, and here's the deal. I'm glad you did. That enhanced the show. But what I'll say is you notice they never do that, with the exception of Poker Face, because as soon as they said, we're a band, we have this hit song called Steelhead, I turn to my wife and I go, they're never going to play you that song because of this rule. And then like 5 minutes later, they were jamming it and the song delivered. So I was blown away.
I'm sorry, wearing expensive clothes.
You didn't even get it right. This show's ruined.
I mean, it has full lyrics, though, is what I'm saying.
But they don't actually make the song. You have to kind of imagine the song being cool. It's like Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip. We all remember that wonderful show from the makers of The West Wing. Instead of being the White House, it's a Saturday Night Live backstage with Bradley Whitford and whoever. And they did the big thing where there was an entire episode. I'll never forget this. There was an entire episode where they will, they won't, they do the big sketch. The sketch that's going to kill. It's the crazy, funniest sketch they've ever done.
Crazy Christians or crazy conservatives?
Yeah. And they're going to do this absolutely wild sketch. And it's going to be a banger. And they play it up for the entire episode. We got to do it. It'll offend too many people, but it's so funny. And then they finally do it. And they show it at the end of the episode, and it's a parody of the modern Major General song from Pirates of Penzance, and it's the most bland, awful thing you've ever seen in your entire life. And me being a major part of the sketch comedy community here in Los Angeles, when that came out, lost their goddamn minds that's what they went with. I'll never forget this. It will always be fresh in my mind because of how upset it made everyone around
it's
here.
It's why 30 Rock got 7 seasons and Studio 60 tanked after 1, because they understood you don't ever show the thing that's supposed to be super funny.
Nope. No, you.
I mean, they did on 30 Rock all the time.
They gave you a snippet,
and they also used to play the song. Like the one time that Weird Al was on, and the whole bit was. And it's a great bit. If you've never seen this episode of 30 Rock, it's great. But it is Jenna Maroney keeps trying to release songs, like real songs. But she keeps getting parodied by Weird Al, and she's so pissed.
So good.
So she decides to out parody Weird Al and release a parody song, which he then unparodies to make a serious version of. And it's like an America thing, and there's an eagle and an American flag, and it is great.
It's not only that, Weird Al, I believe, does the closing 30 Rock theme song in his style at the end as well.
It's all fantastic.
If you love Weird Al, find that episode. It's wonderful. Uh-huh. But yeah, so anyway, the whole point of all of it is we're never going to see this pop group because they will never be able to deliver on the promise of this pop group, you know?
Then they should have done a thing where they all got up on stage and then, you know, the bad guys start throwing smoke bombs or whatever.
I would have loved that. Well, we cut back to the antique shop. Mom and shopkeeper dude are going at it. There's a lot of tension there.
Yeah.
And Toru is sort of deciding, am I going to take this nefarious job to rob this place? Or am I not going to take this? He finds out that Jackie Chan is going to be security for it. And he goes back and he says, yes. And he says, just to give you full disclosure, because, you know, according to you, I did double cross my illicit companions in the past. I want you to know my friend Jackie Chan is going to be working security at this event. And they say, is that going to be a problem for you? And he says something to the effect of, that's not going to be a problem because I will beat whoever you put in front of me. It's only a problem for him, in so many words. And I thought that was very cool. I was like, I'm convinced this guy's going evil.
Yeah.
And this takes us to the event itself. Jackie Chan is full on wearing a cop outfit, his security outfit, which just reminds me, ACAB, obviously, all Chans are bastards.
That's true. No, it's literally true. Like, I, uh, my parents were unmarried, so you know.
There you go. Shit. And yeah, as soon as I saw it, I was like, "Oh no, Jackie Chan, please no!" But like, he's always going to be a good guy, and in that role, that means he will always be on the side of the police in these types of endeavors. And there's no, there's just, it's like, again, it's like Dwayne the Rock Johnson. There's just no getting around that. That if you have a problem with law enforcement, you must understand if you are seeing a Jackie Chan, literally anything, you will be seeing something that will treat the police in a positive light because he will be one of them.
We are honestly having a conversation in this house about whether or not I'm allowed to show Egon Police Story, arguably certainly one of Jackie Chan's greatest works, given that he's a cop.
Not to mention, of course, his famed role as Super Cop, ladies and gentlemen.
And then Super Cop takes it to the next level.
Yeah, it's tough. What about Police Squad with Leslie Nielsen, the precursor to Naked Gun? Is that allowed?
I mean, that shows cops as incompetent boobs, so I would assume it would be allowed.
It's a documentary. That's, we don't, you know.
They just rolled the cameras and saw what happened. Yeah, there's no scripting. That's where TV's headed, after all. Sorry.
I mean, there's a secret enemy that Chan lives with. That's why he's not protesting.
Wow. Wow. Shots fired.
I mean, there's that. Also, I'm real lazy, and I feel like between the two, it's always the simpler answer.
Chan, what if you use your lunch break to pick it outside the place you currently work?
Ooh, nice. I work to help children with disabilities, so you know,
block those driveways during your lunch break for the WGA.
Yeah, no kid in, no kid out,
no kid in, no kid out. A new contract is what it's all about. That kind of works, kind of. Okay, so we get to this whole thing's coming. We're only halfway through the episode, and it feels like we've hit the end of Act Two, but we haven't. The bad guys throw gas that's just meant to distract and dismay. What I appreciated is there's a bunch, and just like actual police officers, the bad guys show up, throw a gas bomb that literally is just colored smoke, and every police officer there and security guard, except for Jackie Chan, says, "I'm not getting paid enough for this," and leaves.
Okay, first of all, they're just security guards. They're not police
officers.
Being
hired by the police. They're deputies.
They're regular cops. And often security guards are off-duty police officers, so.
Yeah, but I would argue they are right. If someone threw a smoke bomb and I was guarding shit, I would be like,
Is Japanese culture shit? All of Japanese culture, because this is a Japanese cultural expo.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't realize possessions were worth more than human life, Republican Chan.
A smoke bomb does not take human lives, Gina.
Yo, they're not just throwing a smoke bomb in and then just doing nothing. They're throwing a smoke bomb in and then they're going to invade and shoot people in the brain.
You guys, windows were broken at BLM protests. Sure, they were done by police provocateurs, but that's not the point I want to make.
I will give them credit. They don't actually leave when the smoke bombs go off. They don't leave until Toru shows up, and they're like, "Fuck that!"
No. I would leave too. Yeah,
and
I'm done.
I respect that decision.
I'm done.
There's one point during this fight, which at first I thought it was a mistake. But I have just gone back to look at it, and it was not. Mm-hmm. One of the guys comes at Jackie Chan. He's like leaping through the air, and he's going to like beat the shit out of him. And he says,
"Bonsai!"
And I'm like,
"Bonsai?
Dude, it's bonsai, not bonsai, you dumb son of a..." But I'm looking back at it. He is flying through the air, holding a bonsai tree, he's gonna clobber Jackie Chan with. I'm like, holy shit, that's a good joke.
That is respect. A good joke. I think it's and I hate that I like did not write it down, but there's something else where there was some sort of pun similar to that, and I remember thinking, oh, that's clever, but I of course didn't write it down because my brain is fried.
Can we talk about the fact that the main enemy, the bad guy of this episode, carries a yo-yo And his
that's
name.
What it was. She calls him Yo-Yo Mafia.
Oh, yeah, but that's Yo-Yo
his,
Mob.
Yo-Yo Mob is his name, yeah. Which is amazing.
Like, oh, wait,
that's not
is
his
it?
Name.
I believe
not.
That's his
that
actual
is not
name.
His name. That's a no. pun that she's using because yes. he because of this Yo-Yo Ma.
Oh,
but here's
I
the thing,
it
works
name.
On several levels. Yo-Yo Ma is also Asian. He, this guy uses a yo-yo, and he is in the mob. Yo-Yo Mob works
yeah,
on
I get
three
it.
Levels.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, no,
he
I get it.
He plays the cello very well.
I liked it.
I also made a note of that, but for the opposite reason, I did not think it was funny.
See, but again, this
well,
is a Ray and Gina versus Chandler.
No class.
Mr. Yo-Yo Mob took it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's his real name. I'll be honest. Anyways.
His real name is Gang Leader, in case you were wondering.
Yeah, wow. I was going to say.
It's Clyde Kusatsu, who's a fantastic actor. And
I wonder what that I wonder what that translates to.
Yo-Yo Mob.
Ah, excellent. Okay. So Toru chooses this moment to double-cross the bad guys. We have a gigantic fight, and knockout gas is now used, which then immediately takes down Toru, who I thought would last a little longer. Just saying. And Jackie Chan both get dropped by the knockout gas. And next thing we see, we cut back to them, and they are tied together with chains hanging over a literal pool of sharks.
Oh, boy.
Only this... in cartoons of this era and before did you see this setup. You'll see it a lot these days.
This is the point. And I was hanging in there because I was like, you know what? I'm not a real big fan of this, but, you know, it's Jackie Chan, so I'll stick around. This is the point where I checked out. Like, no.
I also say the little kid followed them to the event, and I forgot to mention this earlier. The little kid who we've been kind of like walking around, who's the friend with Jackie Chan, she stole the octopus.
Yeah.
Straight out stole it and took it home.
Yep.
That's insane.
I
now,
mean,
allegedly, she stole it to prevent it from getting stolen.
Yeah, I
but
respect
it still
that.
Got stolen.
No, I respect the fact that she was like, I don't trust these adults. They're screwing everything up.
Yeah, it was a very penny move.
Yeah.
It was a very penny move. That's a good call. But it's still immoral to steal it yourself. Just said, if the cops showed up, it would be in her possession. She would be arrested.
But also, her uncle and her friend slash manservant are—they're chained over a pool of sharks.
Yes, they are.
Which, yeah. If you're trying to figure out if a crime is being committed, I feel like that's a no-brainer right there.
I mean, fair. Well, here's the deal: they go watch the shop. Kid, watch the shop. The shopkeeper and the mom are going to go take care of this. They've been given a timeline of 1 hour. Give us the octopus or die.
Look, and like this plot line. I like the fact that like the two old people are so like hate each other so much. And then they have to come together when their kids get kidnapped. And that both of them are too stubborn not to go. But that they're both fucking dope ass like fighters. Like, I like this.
I love it. I love the fact that the two most competent fighters on the show get defeated easily, and they need the lesser quote unquote fighting characters to come bail them out. I love that as a plot point in general.
Yeah.
But I also like the fact we get our other callback that I did make a reference to, which is while hanging above the pit of sharks, Toru turns to Jackie Chan and says, "I do not like fish." And I laughed. I laughed out loud when he did that. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, that's not bad.
You give me a good callback, I am in my happy place. Okay, so here we go. Now we're getting into the final fight scene. Yo-Yo guy is there. The old people bring the gem, which is an octopus. And we do this is where I wrote the correction about the octopus. What I love about it is the henchman is like on the verge of correcting the boss about octopus term usage, is calling it a fish. And then he just thinks better of it.
Technically, an octopus is a member of the multipod family, and put the fish on the table.
He thinks better of it.
Yeah.
And I just think that's delightful. I laughed at that, too. Honestly, I laughed more times in this episode of Jackie Chan Adventures than I have watching any stand-up special on any streaming service in about 4 years. That's a bad sign. Take that, Bo Burnham.
Stick it to the man.
Yeah. To be fair, though, I think I laughed like legit laughed three times in this episode. And that's pretty good hit rate, quite honest, given how jaded I am when it comes to comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Obviously, great show.
Hate that this dude's gimmick is that he is into the yo-yo. So he's super good at the yo-yo.
It's great. I love it. No notes.
And he walks in and is like, oh, hey, check out this cool trick I just learned. Walking the dog. Literally the first trick you learn.
Okay, first of all, little kids are watching this. They don't know that.
You think he's gonna
do something like real like difficult thing? I mean, I guess the other thing they could have done was just made something up, but
yeah, geez, I can't think of any way that they could have just made something up and on a cartoon that they drew.
But little kids want to like emulate what they see, so they're obviously not going to make it that hard because they want little kids to watch it and then be like, oh crap, I can do that.
Are you guys old enough to remember when Dunkin' Yo-Yos used to have TV commercials?
Yep.
Where you got a glow in the dark yo-yo and a videotape teaching you like 10 greatest yo-yo tricks, including baby in the cradle and walking the dog. That was like my entire childhood. Now that I'm thinking about it, I saw that commercial roughly 26 times a day.
Well, now we know what's going to go in the middle of this episode, huh?
You know what? I already thought of it. Already looking for it.
Meanwhile, the grandparents bust in on poor Jackie Chan and Toru as they're being dropped into the water full of the sharks. They go into the water and they beat off the sharks, by which I mean they make the shark ejaculate in the water and then they get out. And meanwhile, the grandparents are beating the crap out of the mob. They do. And then they come into the room. Meanwhile, the bad guy has taken the octopus. Like
he just has it. Yeah.
Everybody is occupied. So he's like, time for me to get out of here with the octopus.
Yeah, it's kind of great. Yeah.
And then he doesn't. What the fuck? He doesn't. He just stays there and hides in a barrel. He had it free and clear. He could have just left with the thing that he came for, and he doesn't. What the...
Yeah, I mean, look, everything you're saying is correct. This is bizarre. So here's the deal. Let's get back to that point. So mom comes in and she just starts kicking all the asses, right? And the gang gets they get their shit kicked in by mom and shopkeeper, who basically they're all the gang except for Yo-Yo Ma, mob, and they go behind a curtain, close the curtain, and beat the shit out of like four or five dudes. It's wonderful. The Yo-Yo guy yo-yos, he says, I got a new trick, nails the button to lower our heroes into the shark tank, right? Wonderful. And then the kid stops it from happening. Okay, great. The bad guy is mad, so he slips on some water outside the tank, which I did notice before that and wondered if anyone was going to slip, because that's where my brain goes when I see standing water anywhere. And he did. He slipped on it, and the machine turns off. So he's like, okay, fine. And didn't he like attach an axe or something, or like throw an axe? He slices the rope.
Yeah.
And then stuffs the little girl into a pantry. And so our heroes drop into the shark tank, and he allegedly escapes, right? To what Chan says, the door is right there. And for some reason, maybe it's a lack of confidence. Maybe he thinks he's going to, you know, make a run for it. So if he just stays here and everyone leaves, he could walk away safely. Not the worst plan, except the thing I want to talk about is that Toru and Jackie Chan are chained up so tight that they cannot escape in the air. They land in the tank of water. And I don't know if water has a special property on chains I'm not aware of, because the chains just melt off of them as soon as they get into the water. And I don't know how literally anything works.
Yeah. They're water-soluble chains. It's a very normal thing.
It's like they just dissolve in the
water. They're made of cotton candy.
Mm-hmm. You know what? This makes a lot of sense. And then, like, at one point, Jackie Chan ropes a shark around the snout with a chain and then, like, rides it around the pool for a moment. It gets crazy. Upside of it is that they all escape. This is where we find out the guy is still here. What a dope. Now that I think about it, I cannot excuse this plan. I understood what he was going for, but it was the wrong call, obviously.
Yeah.
The two old people still want to fight each other. And that, look, the sexual tension is through the roof right now.
Yeah, I still thought that they would end up like, I thought at the last second they would bone in this children's cartoon.
I feel like they probably do by season four.
Okay.
Yeah, the will they, won't they is really off the chain. You know, not since Castle and X-Files have I seen it to this level.
Not since David Boreanaz.
Oh, okay. Man, not since David Boreanaz on Bones.
Mm-hmm. And Emily Deschanel, yeah.
Zooey's sister.
Hot chemistry for the ages.
And this is what kills me, right? I learned about that actor through watching Bones and then found out over a decade later that he was Angel in the Buffy series. And I was like, oh, that's where he came from. Oh, he's still a very attractive man. But why is Bones in this Buffy episode?
Everything about you disgusts me.
I mentioned Charlie from Lost earlier. Didn't know he was a hobbit till like Lost was off the air.
I hate you.
Didn't put any of it together. So basically, I really like these actors for their second big role. And then I find out afterwards that they had a much larger first big role before that. And that's okay, too.
It's not okay.
I'm glad to see I get immediate disapproval from the team. No discussion. For the record, and if you know this, if you've been listening to the episode, I did find the Duncan commercial I was looking for. And it did play in the ad break of this cartoon show. I'm just having a good time. I'm having a good time with this one, whatever. So now we get back to, the cartoon part is over.
Yeah.
And we get Jackie Chan answering viewer mail. Viewer mail, ladies and gentlemen.
I like this. He's very likable. His likability score is through the roof.
Do we have a sound comparison for the people at home? Because Gina won't do the voice for us. Can we hear what Jackie Chan sounds like when he talks in the finale and what he sounds like as a cartoon character on the show? Because I think it was pretty similar.
Here is Jackie Chan in the cartoon.
What? Oh, no. Stop it. Both of you.
Here is Jackie Chan in real life.
I like rap song because it makes me like a... When I'm training, I like this kind of music. Celine Dion, Mariah Carey, Whitney Houston.
I love that it goes from rap right to fucking right Celine, to Celine Dion.
And then he goes to like 60s and
he's
got eclectic tastes. I hope that is doctored at all. I hope that was just them being like, hey, we're going to ask you a question, answer honestly, instead of them being like, don't worry, we'll give you the names that'll be funniest.
This was the fourth time I remember this time too. I laughed because they asked Jackie Chan, what is your favorite music? And you heard that part. He likes rap. He likes that.
No, then he said rock. He said he likes rock rap. because when he exercises, it gets him moving.
He said rap.
I heard rap. Can we hear that again, please, Chan?
I like rap song because it makes me like a...
Oh, you're right.
Rap song.
Sounds like rap.
Yeah.
So I can see why they replaced his voice actor.
That's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Because you hate the sound of a Chinese man's voice?
No, because he's not a professional voice actor. And you cut it off before he even said... I like what they're saying in the songs because I can practice my English. He makes fun of himself, his ability to speak English, a lot of times. I don't know how many times you've seen him, but he does it in like every interview. It's like a very charming, self-deprecating thing that he does. But he's not a professional voice actor, and English is not his first language. So like it would just take so much more time for him to record that than a professional voiceover.
Should also point out, for the same reason they didn't let Hulk Hogan play himself in Rock and Wrestling.
This sounds like Gina's creating a bamboo ceiling to me.
Wow.
She won't allow any people.
He was a producer. He could have made himself. He doesn't need to ask anyone's permission. If he's an EP on that show, he could have been like, look, bitches, I'm the voice or no one's the voice.
He was so busy, though. I can see why he would just like,
yeah, of course.
Get the check and do nothing else.
That's why he probably shot all of those fan mail things in one day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They also probably could not afford him for his like they can pay voiceover actors beans, but if he's already an EP and he's already appearing in everything, they probably at some point were like, we can't afford this fucker to come in and record voiceover. Also, do you know how much we're already paying him?
And this is the part that made me laugh, though, is he goes, I also like Bee Gees and I also like the Beatles. Just kidding. I'm too young.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud when I heard that.
That one got me. He's a charming son of a bitch.
He's very fun.
Likeable.
Look, I'm going to say right now, if you've never seen it, my favorite Jackie Chan movie is Rumble in the Bronx, which to me, it's one of the top five most fun action movies of all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
saw it in theaters three times.
I think if aliens were to like invade the Earth and we had to send a coalition of individuals to convince them not to destroy Earth, that would like not, you know, like that would be as anti like Donald Trump, as anti whoever the least likable human being on Earth is.
You just send Tom Hanks and Jackie Chan.
I think, I don't know, but I like Tom Hanks. I don't think he's quite as likable. I would say like Jackie Chan, Keanu Reeves,
The Rock.
Maybe Mandy Patinkin is in there somewhere.
Oh, Alan Cumming's got to go.
There's a great photo from the New York picket lines of Lin-Manuel Miranda offering Mandy Patinkin a donut.
Yeah. Oh my God.
A box of donuts. And I feel like those two guys should go up to the aliens with a box of donuts, with Jackie Chan.
A more wholesome image is not possible. Norman Rockwell wishes he'd come up with that, quite honestly.
Yeah. I think we're coming out of it alive, as long as they don't watch any clips or go on the internet.
Yeah, don't let Kid Rock on that ship. Just a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because he shot a bunch of Bud Light. Well, yeah. he shot at a bunch of Bud Light while his friend, who was slightly off camera, did most of the actual shooting of the Bud Light.
I mean, the fact that we're talking about it is just...
Guys,
we're the real villains here that we're giving him any attention.
Look, we're recording this in May. By the time summer hits in 1 month, no one will remember that ever happened. That's how insignificant it is.
I mean, they will, because they'll be listening to this podcast, and then his star meter will go up because people listening to this podcast will be like, wait, what are they talking about? And then they'll Google him. We are part of the problem here. I'm bringing up Lin-Manuel Miranda and Mandy Patinkin. You're bringing up fuckface.
I love the fact that you think that in 1 month's time, this show will be much larger in the knowledge base of the average person than Kid Rock. I like this plan. I'm not against it in any way. I'm just doubtful. I'm pressing X for doubt.
Did you guys hear Katie Porter showed up on the strike today? How cool is that?
Did she play with Tom Morello? Did she play pan flute?
Yeah, she brought her whiteboard. She wrote out new lyrics for him to read that were mostly based on basic math.
I look, this is the time capsule for the year 2023. That's what the show was known for, a time capsule of the era in which it was recorded. And I think Katie Porter is perfectly good. She's running for Senate. We will see what happens. We will see what happens. I don't know who all's running.
Go Katie.
I'm generally a fan of hers.
Yeah, it sucks that you guys hate her because you hate picketers.
What is happening right now? I'm gonna go listen to Killing in the Name of.
Mm-hmm.
And just imagining it with a pan flute over the top. If any of you are good at sound editing, I'd love to get a version of Killing in the Name of with a pan flute. That's your mission for this week.
So that he can play it for his daughter.
Yeah, ideally. Or just play it at the picket line tomorrow when Gina goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This strike ain't ending anytime soon. This is evergreen material at this point.
It's true.
Anyway, this is Knowing Is Half the Podcast. I hope you enjoyed our Mother's Day episode. This episode didn't just had more to do with one character's mom than Mother's Day per se. But you know what? We'll take it. You know what?
Motherfucker, you try and find some Mother's Day episodes of cartoons.
Don't say that. Gina will come up. Gina will find a list of 15 in about 30 seconds.
I think Chan did a good job.
Damn. No, right. Here's the deal. I'm glad we finally did Jackie Chan Adventures. Start there.
I thought this was very Mother's Day-y. There was a whole arc of him, of his mother learning to accept him because he's a good fighter.
Look, is this show particularly great? I would argue it's not. It's average. It's not great. But it legitimately made me laugh out loud four times. So maybe I should be ranking it a little bit higher. And they have Clancy Brown in it. So, like, what more, what more do I need? And Jackie Chan, of course, is delightful when he bothers to appear in the show.
He was not in it much.
I'm breaking it down. I hold it in higher esteem than I first thought I did. Legitimately, any show that makes me laugh, again, I have to give it up to it.
Yeah,
How often does that happen on this show?
I liked it from the start. It's not breaking any new ground. It's not brilliant. I'm not going to like go and watch more episodes of it, but I enjoyed it.
Gina over here is the Jackie Chan Adventures hipster of the show.
Mm. Yeah.
I liked it from the start.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it back when we did an episode of it. The today. First time.
I liked it since today, but before you. you know what? Yeah, I'm into it. These are the places you'll find us. Patreon.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast. By the time you hear this, there is still time. We did have a brand new patron join the patronage and get a t-shirt. It was ordered while the recording of this episode happened. And you have until the end of the day on the 15th of May, which is Monday. So when you hear this, you'll have like a couple of days to get it done. If you would like to join or you already are a patron, you just got to send me a message or comment on one of the posts about t-shirts. So I make sure that I know you want it, what size to buy, and what address to send it to, because people do move. And if you don't do those things, I just have to assume that you just don't care enough to want a t-shirt. What I'm asking for, in my mind, nearly the bare minimum. That's fair, right?
I feel like anyone who listens to the show and cares enough to give us money also doesn't listen to the end of the show, because like, I've already done my, I don't need to hear them shilling over and over again. I disagree.
These are the only people who listen to the end of the show. Thank you, Channing Sherman, for being here with us. You're basically the fourth head in the room. That's all I'm trying to say. Anyway, you can find us on Facebook.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast, Patreon.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast, and at G.I. Joe Podcast on Twitter, where you can also find links to watch the episodes that we are watching for the show and make decisions for yourself. I think it would be fun to watch the episode and then listen to the podcast, but I've also heard people say they listen to the podcast and it makes them want to watch the show afterwards. Man, whatever's good for you. Or don't listen to the podcast and just watch the show. No, that's bad.
Don't
watch the show and just listen to the podcast. Do that. As long as you're listening. We need them numbers. Dear Lord. Otherwise, it's at G.I. Joe Podcast on Twitter, like I said. And individually, I am at Almighty Ray.
I am at Hyrule playing Tears of the Kingdom.
You can't pet the dog, Chan. I'm out.
I just saw that too. Like, what the hell?
The dog even rolls on his back for belly rubs. You can't do it?
Like, why would they have him present the bell if you're not getting to pet the bell?
Yeah, that CD-ROM Zelda game is way better than this one. That's all I'm trying to say right now. Drop the Dodongo on that.
Gina Ippy.
And that's the episode, Mother's Day, Jackie Chan Adventures. We'll be back, I don't know, at some point with another episode when we feel like it. So until next week, may all of your fish be delicious and not fishy. May all of your Jackie Chans sound like some other guy. Scarlet Destro, Tunnel Rat throws a grenade. Cobra attack!
That's a weird. This is a weird theme song to go with the Jackie Chan show.
Couldn't believe it myself. Wow. And I didn't realize I'd sung it. Man, I got to go back and check my residuals.
Yeah, you should get some BMI checks.
I'll settle for just a BM.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy. You got to sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and booty debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in. It's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.